Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This song was big when I was in high school. And I remember seeing these guys open up at the Vets for the Stones, I think in 1996, which is pretty cool opening act. All right, good morning to you.
I've never seen anyone do that to
harmonica thing. Yeah,
I don't know if anyone ever, if anyone's done it since or before. Yeah. But John Popper, that's just new.
It was
next
wild
level.
It was great.
Like whatever Jimi Hendrix was to the guitar, John Popper was to the harmonica. There's no doubt about it. That's crazy.
And Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeGene were amazing. His rookie corners. Because they were amazing. I mean, guys, there's no doubt about
it.
There's no question. My point is, don't expect it again. Is all I'm saying. Like maybe in our life in the next
you don't have to expect
20 years, but that combo
expect rookies to step right in seamlessly. That's very unlikely to happen again.
Yeah.
But again, it's unlikely to blow a team out in the Super Bowl.
That's true.
I'm okay if we don't blow a team out in the Super Bowl next year.
Very fair. All right. Speaking of something like the Super Bowl, the playoffs. Let's get to a Twitter poll question of the day. About the current playoffs happening, obviously the Flyers had their final game of the season tomorrow, so the NHL playoffs haven't started yet. But the NBA playoffs have begun, NHL later this week. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet in 2025. Armin Chevrolet proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley together. Let's drive. Poll question, which league's playoffs are you going to watch a lot this year? So we're putting the caveat in a lot. Meaning not, you know, the 5-minute flyby, you know, four times in the next 2 months. Like, which one are you going to really prioritize? Four choices here. A, NBA playoffs, which for me were always a staple of my life until about 2 years ago. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know anymore. B, the NHL playoffs, which I watched more back in the day than I do now. But they are phenomenal. There's no question. C, both of them. NBA and NHL, you're going to make a point to watch both, and D is neither. Really what we're doing here is trying to, I'll use the word again, discern for the commissioners of these respective leagues how they're doing. Because, you know, you would want Philadelphia sports fans, even if our teams aren't in it, to watch these games. But I tend to think people will watch them a lot less than they used to. You can vote at Sports Radio Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And certainly weigh in on the phone lines as well, 215-592-9494. Speaking of the phone lines, back to that in a minute, as we also have a chance for you to win a cool prize today.
Look at you. Your life is under control. Errands, done. Groceries, got. It's a good time for a reward. You know the one, your favorite tasty cake treat. Is it the delicious crimpet or the mouth-watering candy cake? No matter where you are, choose what feels right and enjoy. You've earned it, and you know you deserve it. Tasty cake, except no substitute.
All right, Jenna Cameron and John Ritchie on this, Wednesday morning. So happy birthday goes out today to one of my favorites. and he turns 60 years old. I'm not going to say his first name only. I'm going to give him Martin Lawrence today.
Martin!
Well, that's...
Didn't think we'd get to use that quickly. That was great.
That's why I wasn't going to... I was actually a little surprised. I thought Martin Lawrence. I thought, Martin! I thought he'd be a little older than 60.
Well, you did it again. That wasn't the drop. That was actually Joe.
I was kind of joking.
He tried to do it better, and it sounded exactly the same.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Exactly.
All right, so happy birthday to the great Martin Lawrence. You know, we were talking before the show about Bad Boys. And there's a lot in there. But so we kind of drifted into a conversation about the concept of a character with edge. Because obviously in movies and shows and books, there's an awful lot of characters with edge. Maybe they're a bad boy, maybe they're not. Here's what we're looking for today. Not a true criminal. All right? Not a true criminal, guys. But a character that you'd say has got some edge. Maybe it's cockiness. Maybe it's abrasiveness. Maybe it's confidence. Maybe just marches to the beat of his or her own drum. A little bit of edge. Best answer by the end of the show. A character with a lot of edge. Whoever comes up with the best answer, you're going to win a cool prize, which is to see comedian Matt Rife at the Wells Fargo Center in November. Right after Thanksgiving, November 29th, at the Wells Fargo Center, comedian Matt Rife to entertain you. For tickets, get yourself to Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. You can win the tickets to see a big show in the Wells Fargo Center this fall. John Ritchie, a character with edge. What are you thinking?
I don't know what happened to... I think Wesley Snipes had some like tax stuff that went on, and maybe that took
played a lot of edgy characters.
You're right, yeah. But Blade was so awesome. Blade, I mean, double entendre here with the edge thing, because you want to talk about someone who could very easily chop people's heads off with the giant edge of a sword, a samurai sword, maybe. He was so cool, and double fisting samurai swords, probably.
And the edge, the double entendre. That's good work by
you. There you go. Yeah.
I just watched White Men Can't Jump this weekend, by the way.
Great movie.
It's super entertaining.
Have you seen the new remake one?
No, I'm good on that.
I haven't either.
I was
a little intrigued to try to see Jack, whatever his name is, as the new guy. You know, whoever he is.
I don't know.
The musician, what's his, Jack?
Jack
Antonoff?
Black? Harlow?
That guy? Oh, Harlow.
I don't know who you're talking
Harlow?
About.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I didn't Jack know. Harlow
I didn't even,
that.
Not in on the new White Man Can't.
No, me neither. Didn't even know it existed. Devin, a character with edge.
I'm going to go Marvel as well. I'm going Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow in The Avengers.
Man. Yeah, you got it. Look, give
edgy.
Us... Big
very
answers. Best answer ever provides. You're going to see the comedian in the Wells Fargo Center. 215-592-9494. Seltzer, you're not someone with much edge.
Really?
You're more. No, you're a yappy yap guy, but you're not.
I think I got a little edge.
Like, you're not Dylan McKay court.
I think I got a little edge on me.
Dylan McKay from 90210 Edge. James Seltzer, he looks like a tennis ball.
I got more edge than you, buddy.
Whoa. Hold on.
I don't. Actually, people can see now, so you can see, you can't say stuff that's not true. Mister wears a hat every day. Why do you wear a hat every day?
Why not?
Oh, okay.
Not?
You know who doesn't wear a hat every day? This guy.
Yeah,
no problem.
You know who needs to, though? You.
I don't. We have YouTube now, big dog.
What do you mean?
You can't just say things
that
people...
What's wrong with his hair?
There's nothing wrong with it.
I think he's got good hair.
I think people should respond with their comments on YouTube about
Please.
Seltzer's looks.
Yeah, what's
Jimmy
wrong with
has and nice hair.
And what part of Seltzer reminds you of Dylan McKay from 90210? Nothing.
I'm better looking than you, so that's all that really matters. Like, significantly. So I can be fine with that.
Oh, know? That's a drop of the week there.
We're good there.
Whoa.
So
new WIP challenge.
There we go.
Who is the most handsomest?
That's not a challenge. I just win easily. Like, there's no competition here.
Oh, you're good, James.
Randall McMurphy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson.
You got it for sure. Rhea, give us a character with edge.
Sigourney Weaver, an alien.
Yeah. Look, lot of massive answers, obviously. Give us an edgy character from a book, a movie, a show, whatever, a play. Better be a damn well-known play, because otherwise we're not going to know much. But give us
a... It's edgy when it's a play.
Yeah, give us a... Like the little kid in Les Mis, the little girl. She had edge.
Cosette?
She was a fighter, man. French Revolution.
Just because she had
fighter.
Just because she was tough didn't
fighter.
Mean she had
tough.
Edge.
Tough. She, yeah, not quite
was
the same.
Beauty I'm saying, little, to
yeah,
Cosette.
She had like this gorgeous voice. Edge. This little girl.
All right, give me a great answer. A character. And by the way, I'm not going to history. Something that gets adapted to a movie. I know Joan of Arc had edge. I got it. Give me something truly fictional. All right, a character with edge, 215-592-9494. Let's go to Ryan right now. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, Joe. First off, harmonica. Wouldn't Bob Dylan have been one of the best harmonica players?
Well, no. Did he do it to that level, John? Probably not, right?
It's not even close.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
John Popper, just listen to Blues Traveler.
I know Blues Traveler. I hear you.
Oh, my gosh.
Question.
Yeah. Dylan is just...
I've been Blues Traveler since high school. But.
Oh, so, yeah. So you know what we're talking about. Dylan's amazing. I mean, it's vintage. It's edgy. But it's not.
It was edgy.
It's
actually
not skillful musically.
Yeah.
Like John Popper.
I was asking you, John, because I trust your musical talent.
That's why I turned to John.
I wish I could play like those guys.
All right, what do you got on the birds, Ryan?
So I have a theory of what Howie's doing. If you look back to the year we lost to the Kansas City in the championship, their defense was the youngest in the league, and it was mostly all young rookies, second year, third year. And then last year when we won, we had the youngest defense in the league. I don't think Howie's scared of a young defense that's not scared to hit, and they run around, and as they get older and a little slower, move on. I really think he appreciates the younger D. And we've proven we've won, and Kansas City proved they can win with it. Two teams that are the youngest defense in the league.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about the turnover. Of course, you need some Brandon Grahams on the team and some vets. But I really think Howie looked at that year and said, look, you can win with a young defense.
Well, you can, but, you know, it's not as easy for young players to play as well if they're first or second year players as fifth or sixth year players.
Oh,
I mean, Milt Williams and Josh Sweater, well, just for example, Milt Williams and Josh Sweater players that played better, you know, years 4 to 6, I think might have been Sweat's sixth year, than they did year 1 and 2. I mean, that's obvious. Jalen Carter, by the way, was better in 2 than 1. That's obvious. Most players get better and they get to that middle point of the career.
We had the youngest in the league, and that year Kansas City had the youngest in the league. So staying young, I think, is what Howie's kind of aiming for, spending the money on offense and the O-line. And
well, I agree. That's part of his mindset. I agree with that. Ryan, give me a big answer, a character with edge.
Yeah. So in honor of Dallas Goedert, the book you guys have definitely read, I'll go to The Outsiders and Dallas, who was the main guy in the book who was off the charts.
You got it, man.
And Dally, there you go.
All right, pal, from The Outsiders. You got it. 215-592-9494. So Alec Bohm had negative edge over the last 2 weeks or so.
He definitely had edge. It just wasn't good. Yeah, he was very edgy.
He was edgy. That's true. I got a hit last night. Got a big hit, actually. Let's listen to the moment. This was a tight game for, you know, a decent portion of the game. Let's listen to a key hit by Bo.
And the pitch swung on, line to left center field. That is in for a base hit. Around third is Castellanos. He's coming home. He'll score. And Alec Bohm has given the Phillies the lead with a two-out RBI single to left center. It's 4-3.
Yeah, that was significant. And obviously we're all happy to see him do. And look, you know, some people want him to stay. Some people want him to go. I get the arguments both ways. I want him, obviously, to play better to help this team. But he may need to go if he can't do it consistently. He did it last night. It was good to see. Topper talked after the game about Bohm's big moment there.
What does that do for his confidence?
It's huge. You know, it really is. Marsh's at bats should be huge for his confidence too, you know. I really liked our approach tonight. We had 4 walks, 2 strikeouts. I thought we played a really good game.
Look, I know we've been talking a lot about the Eagles so far, and you can weigh in on them at 215-592-9494, but also to react to the Phils from last night, because, John, there was an awful lot going on in that game. What stood out to him? I mean, it was an important W, because it felt like I heard someone down at KYW, I was walking in, Dave Uram, and I only heard part of what he said this morning, but I think what he said is it wasn't a must-win. Of course it's not. It's, you know, whatever, the 15th, 20th game, whatever the heck it was. It's not a must-win, but it was a much-needed win. And I think that was a pretty fair way. I think that's what he said.
We've lost 2 series in a row. We lost the first game in this 4-game series,
yeah.
And it felt like, in order to win a series, you got to get this one. And it was guys pulling together, really the bottom of the sixth. Luzardo wasn't quite as sharp, but he was good and put us in position where just a minimum of offense was going to give us what we needed, it felt like. And then the bottom of the sixth, you see Schwarber gets his hit.
Yep.
man, he has been just feeling so dependable through this while other guys have not been. And then Casty gets a hit. Castellanos, where I have been endlessly frustrated with him the last two seasons, it feels like, man, when we needed him most last year and no one was hitting, and I think it was close to, might have been close to June. He was the only guy hitting. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember
this.
That. I
he
do remember that.
Kind of kept us afloat for a few games there.
Yep.
And he's kind of doing the same thing last night. So that was good to see. So Schwarber gets a hit. Casty gets a hit. And then Bohm hits up Verlander.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was in the second run of the sixth inning last night. Yeah. Verlander allowed 4 hits that inning. But remember, there was a missed fly ball.
Boy, that was massive. That was a
inning,
gift.
There was a missed play in the fourth by Adames that, by the end of the sixth inning, we were up 4-3, and we didn't look back, and we were back on the right track. But that was sort of a pivotal moment. Alec Bohm did really well for himself. But the problem, the thing that struck me, and I do think it's a problem, this stuff weighs so heavily on Alec Bohm.
It does.
Watching him speak after the game, it should have been a celebrational moment. Oh, his voice was, I mean, graven.
Like, John, I saw him on the post game with McCarthy and Ruben, and I don't know if that was the locker room, but post game with Ruben and Tom McCarthy, I thought he was terrific.
More upbeat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I didn't see that one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good.
Devin, you've been down there a lot covering the team this year. Mm-hmm. What stood out to you prior to last night, and then obviously with yesterday, but the Bohm thing, like seeing him up close, what have you noticed?
Well, so that's typically how he is. It's funny because on air, like Rhea's absolutely right. When he's on TV in those post-game interviews, I think that's his second of the season so far. He tends to show a bit more personality for whatever reason. I think maybe like he knows the cameras are on. And in the locker room, like that's just how he is. He's very, quiet, like literally volume wise.
Does he come across as moody
all
the time?
And I don't know if he is. I'm not going to pretend to be a body language expert, but I think he's just an introverted, quiet person. But it was getting to him, and you could tell that he and really the whole team, the whole lineup felt just, like you could feel that exhale because even Rob Thomson, who's pretty even keel, was like the testiest I had ever seen him in his pregame media availability when he was asked about the lineup, when he was asked about Marsh, when he was asked about, the JT situation, the seventh inning, the game before. So I just feel like they really needed this. And both were the bottom of the lineup, and Bryce Harper also, hadn't been doing too much. The fact that he hit his first home run at Citizens Bank Park is massive. So I feel like the whole team can kind of take like a massive exhale, and you really felt that in the clubhouse.
I hope
Did
so.
It
James
feel like Rob Thomson was trying to show testiness because he knew that people were upset he didn't the
No,
de-
I think
the
he
before?
Was frustrated. I think he is frustrated.
I'll tell you this. He's more under fire than he's ever been here.
And I think he knows that.
And I wonder to what extent he listens to WIP and feels that from our station. Because, look, I'm sure that people are saying stuff down to him at the ballpark. Let's be real. I mean, when he walks around, goes out on a mound, right now, visit, I'm sure there's some people giving him the business in ways that they hadn't. Because, look, it was kind of a magic carpet ride for a couple years there.
Right. Yeah.
And obviously, he's a very nice guy. And so people want to root for him and do genuinely root for him. But, there's people saying, get him out. And people weren't saying that 2 years ago. And people are saying it now, and it's probably getting to an extent. James, what stood out to you with that game last night?
I like the way they battled, especially going down, like getting the early lead. You're like, all right, to Devin's point, it felt like an exhale for that lineup to score early, get on the board, and then they give it up. And to see them fight back and take the lead and Harper homer and just kind of everyone get involved a bit. But I do worry a little bit about the fact that they're this tight this early. I mean, if we're talking about like them needing an exhale, game 16, like what are we going to talk about in the playoffs when it's real pressure, when we're really on them and
that's
stuff?
Fair.
So I'm a little concerned about how this group is handling this so far.
Interesting point. Look, 215-592-9494, your chance to weigh in on the Phils last night. Also, do you agree with my contention that too many people are taking the Eagles' greatness for granted, meaning just assuming it continues and continues and continues because it's Howie. Like, I know he's great, but my God, he has made mistakes before. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, phone calls on all this, plus Ruben Amaro. He joins us coming up. Reminder, 7:20 today, we'll have some fun with AMA. Get those questions in. It's Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. What do you want to know? 7:20 today, AMA, Ruben Amaro next, plus something Howie said about Dallas Goedert yesterday. We'll get to that as well on 94 WIP.